This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
We go out there and welcome in Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. He's got his hot stove show coming up on Friday or on Thursday night. And we announced on Friday, March 28th, Vern, you've got a Q&A roundtable out at Hollywood Casino.
Yeah, looking forward to having a chance to sit down with not just Michael Massey and Kyle Isbell, but hopefully thousands of Royals fans to recap game one, hopefully a game one victory for the boys in blue. And share the stories of what's going on inside the clubhouse, the outlook for 2025, and really introduce these guys that you just watch on the TV, hear in snippets after the game. You guys know Kyle Isbell, Michael Massey, just as good men as they are ball players, so it should be a great time.
How many Z-mans for you this year, Vern? We had the folks from Joe's drop off the Z-mans because they're going to have those out in right field. I know you're up in the press box, but like over under 10 and a half?
Well, do we have the price? I'm sorry to be this guy.
Yes, we do. You get the Z-man with with a side of onion rings for $20, if I heard them correctly.
Under.
Too steep for you, huh?
Yeah, a touch. Since, you know, I'm eating throughout the game, so to... the price for the press box meal really is unlimited, and that's a lot cheaper.
So it's not a Z-man. That's no Z-man.
True, but still, if I have nine, that's still quite a bit, and we're hitting
81
the under.
Home games. Once every 10 games, you get eight games, you get down there, get one. I told Alex it was more like 3.5, 4.5. You know, like I thought it was probably more in that range. You pop down there when you're want a Z-man, and I'm gonna go get it.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to, because I would imagine other, you know, when the out-of-towners, right, the beat writers from Detroit and Cleveland and every single freaking city that comes through, everyone's going to have at least one because it's going to be recommended by everybody else in the press. But I might hit the over, actually. I don't know.
I think you'll have more than you think because let's say you're a fan and you make it out to four. A fan makes it out to four or five games. They might have it two, three times. Their ratio is going to be way higher than yours.
All right, let me just be honest. If I can get a deal, that's. I mean, okay. This is. I've made a lot of good relationships around that stadium. I'm really hoping it pays off this summer.
There you go.
That I think we could possibly work out. We were talking about Salvi earlier, mostly from a, like, can he maintain this level of play, Vern? But if he can, how long does that mean he's in Kansas City? So, like, Salvi's still got 3, 4, how many years left do you think for Salvi? And is there any concern that his play is going to fall?
Well, it'll eventually fall. Because, I mean, you know, Tom Brady, LeBron, that's about it. I think Salvi certainly has another 3 years, I would say, in Kansas City. But I don't think he finishes his career in Kansas City. He jokes that he wants to play until he's 45. I don't know how much of a – he says it with a smile and a wink. I think he's playing coy, though. I think he really wants to play until he's 45. I think general managers will allow him to play until he's about 39, 40, depending on if he wants to, you know, bounce between, you know, AAA and the big leagues at the tail end. And – He loves the game. I talk about it all the time. I can't praise him enough. It's wild to see him continuously being the loudest, the most energetic, the guy that seems to be having the most fun. He strikes me as the Brett Favre type, where you're going to have to tear that freaking jersey off of him, and he's going to go kicking and screaming. I'll tell you this. You would think this year it should be easier to give him more DH time. We talked about yesterday just how well Freddie Fermin's playing. The guy was up for a Gold Glove. He has earned some extra time behind the dish. Salvi has been cognizant of what it's going to take to get into the Hall of Fame for quite a while. I really think it's organizationally that they think about it. When Q's having a conversation about Salvi DH-ing, playing first base, catcher, when they're making that decision, I do think the thought of, am I hurting his Hall of Fame chances? Bounces around in those coaches' discussions of how we're mapping out the week. Now, obviously not to the detriment of the team, because Salvi's play is warranted a start a day. But if we start to see those offensive numbers slip, it's going to be very difficult. Top to bottom, from John Sherman to J.J. Piccolo to Matt Quatrero and all the coaches around him, it's going to be tough to remove the other C from Salvador Perez's chest. He's always the captain, but is he the obvious catcher day in and day out? When that conversation starts to happen, I think that's maybe when he starts to have wandering eyes. We all know the love that he has and the appreciation that he has for this organization, but he loves the game more. I think he'll reach enough numbers, the 300 home runs. The baseball reference page already speaks for itself. I think he'll be a Hall of Famer when his Royals career ends, but I don't think his appetite for competition and the opportunity to play the game that he loves, I don't think that craving will be completely satiated by then.
I looked at Yadier Molina, and he played till he was 39. And at 39, that season wasn't all that impressive. Probably should have stopped when he was 38. But that's kind of where I'm putting Salvi. 38, 39 range, that's to me the benchmark. I think he plays at least till then.
Yeah, another 4 years, right? He turns 35 coming up in a few months. If the over-under is, does he play when he's 40? I'll say yes. Does he play when he's 41? I'll say no.
Vern, what stood out more to you in the game yesterday? Obviously, spring training games, we've got to be careful with the lessons they teach. But was it more impactful that Sam Long got rocked or that Daniel Lynch looked so good?
Well, rocked in that Josh Jung hit a 108-mile-per-hour line drive right back at his head. It first hit his throwing hand, his left hand, but it did carry him off of his noggin, so we'll get an update tomorrow on that. That, to me, would be the big story if it is something long-term where Long's going to start the season on the IL, because we were just talking yesterday about this bullpen maybe being the strength of this team, maybe being good enough to offset the 180 quality innings you're losing from Brady Singer. But your point about Daniel Lynch is correct. Very efficient yesterday, very confident, but also a very carefree Daniel Lynch. Being a part of a winner last year, even though it was coming out of the bullpen, he was always someone that, understandably, had big goals, a lot of desire, maybe struggled at times with confidence, but he knew, I'm a big leaguer. He knew I'm a starter. And like a lot of Royals pitchers that went through that Matheny Eldred era, started to build up a little bit of a wall of mistrust at times. I think that's been completely broken down now. The confidence is still there, but I think there's a touch bit more selflessness and humility there with Daniel Lynch. It'll be interesting to see how they handle him moving forward. He got up to three innings yesterday, again, pitched very efficiently. Do they give him that fourth inning? Do they continue to stretch him out, or do they keep him around, 40, 50 pitches? And maybe I likely won't have that answer for another 2 weeks, as he's still in this competition with Chris Bubich for the five spot. But, the the tea leaves continue to point towards Lynch being in the bullpen or Omaha stretched out as the first one called up if and when is needed, because Chris Bubich has looked every bit as good as Lynch. But yeah, great point, Cody. He did impress the coaching staff yesterday. But I still think he's in that sixth spot in a five-man race.
Who would get Sam Long's spot if there's any kind of long-term effect from the injury?
Yeah, I think, I don't want to be negative about this guy because I am, but he's earned it. Carlos Hernandez is a guy that's out of options. I think injuries could help him stay in the organization as inventory. But again, like we talked about yesterday, if Alec Marsh is right by the end of camp, I would much rather see Alec Marsh's arm in the bullpen alongside of Daniel Lynch rather than Carlos Hernandez. But you guys have heard it countless times for a number of years. This part of the season, when you're in a market like Kansas City, you do value depth and inventory and options. So that could be a saving grace for Carlos Hernandez, who, with all due respect, he's had an outstanding he's been in the big leagues for a while, and that's kudos to him, but I'm not interested in seeing that anymore. I've fell in love with him. He broke my heart way too many times. It's just him and I are so done.
Other than, I guess, Wilson out there for glove day and trying on some new cool gloves for Bobby Witt Jr., what else has stood out from him in the last 24, 48 hours?
Man, this is corny. A lot like how I feel about Salvador Perez. But I just feel like it's my duty to express to people that everything you think Salvi is, he is. It's not just God-given. The guy's been the hardest worker for a dozen years. Yeah, I got to do something similar for Bobby Witt Jr. It's always amazing to me. And throughout these spring training games, I'm looking elsewhere. I'm looking at how invested a guy is in the dugout in his teammates. I'm watching the hustle that they put in these inane workouts that they've been doing since they're six minor leaguers in little league and whatnot. Those are the things I'm looking for in spring training. That's why I'm so impressed with Salvi. Bobby Witt Jr., when in the dugout, it doesn't matter what happened, who scored, what the score of the game is, what inning it is, who's paying attention, if there's anybody. If a run is scored by the Kansas City Royals by some 18-year-old, Bobby Witt Jr. runs to the front of the dugout, gets to the top step, and he is always the first person to welcome fill-in-the-blank Royals player to the dugout. And then a great moment yesterday, Salvi hits a hard ground ball to the shortstop, and he's hustling down the first baseline. Not 100%, but I wouldn't want Salvi going 100% right now. The shortstop overthrows the first baseman, and Salvi rounds first because he has to and goes to second to take the extra bag, take the extra 90 feet on the errant throw. Bobby Witt Jr., knowing that Salvi's about to be removed from the game, gets to the top step on the other side of the dugout with a water for Salvador Perez because that's the longest he's seen Salvi run all spring. So a big grin on his face. And, the Bobby Witt Jr. that picked up the Samad Taylor game-winning ball in center field and ran in like the little kid from the dugout, he's the same guy even after a runner-up finish for the AL MVP. We got two of the best in Kansas City, and like you guys were talking about earlier, let's pray there isn't a work stoppage because that could rob you of the final year of Salvi and the prime of Bobby Witt Jr.
I'd be so pissed at baseball for doing that.
Real quick,
everybody would.
Real quick before I let you go, do you think like it's pretty much inevitable though that like some games are getting missed in 2026 or after?
Sadly, yes.
Yeah, that sucks.
Definitely.
All right, Vern, appreciate it, man. We'll check in tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you.